Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for another edition of Power Friday. And I tell you what, you will be glad that you connected with us today, because for this Power Friday, we have a powerful lady who can really share with us some information on how to make things work better. How many of you had a chance to watch the Dream Team on the basketball court some years ago when they really did their thing? Well, one thing about it, Dream Teams don't always have to be on the basketball court on the hardwood. They can also be right there where you work. And Dr. L. Diane Bennett is going to let us know how to build our own Dream Teams. Dr. Bennett, how are you doing?
I am doing well, Brother Carl. How are you?
I am doing well as well. And as you know, excited about today, because I tell you what, this is a conversation I have been anticipating.
As have I. Always enjoy talking with you.
Well, I appreciate you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, just to give you all just a little bit more information about Dr. Bennett, she is an organizational effectiveness and leadership development practitioner and executive coach. Dr. Bennett, you can tell the story better than I can. If you would share with us, especially for the benefit of the people who may not have heard us when we talked with each other last, what your academic background is and what has led you to your current profession. And definitely, I want you to tell us about Maximize Consulting.
Okay, and again, thanks for the opportunity to be with you and with your listeners. It's always a pleasure being with you, Brother Carl. You're doing a tremendous job of really empowering your listeners to move to that next level. And sometimes we have these dreams and aspirations, and we never really move on them. They simply become dreams and aspirations, and they remain dreams and aspirations. Well, many years ago, when I started my academic career, I went straight through from high school all the way through college and grad school, and I have three undergraduate degrees. I was a triple major at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, English, psychology, Afro-American, African studies, and then left I graduated in like June, and then in August, I was enrolled in a master's program, a master's of regional planning at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And the wonderful thing about my educational journey is that I was able to really glean and take something from every opportunity. I say to folks, when you go to college, what you learn in college, 9 times out of 10, is not that specific to what you're going to do, unless you're in a professional career, on a professional academic track, like doctor, lawyer, and those kinds of things. But for those of us that go to college, English, psychology, or African-American, African studies, unless you are going to be a teacher or a writer or a journalist or for English or with respect to psychology, are you going to study to be a practicing psychologist? And I thought that was the way I wanted to go at one point, and did a couple of internships and thought, no, that's not the way I want to go.
Did it bore you or what?
Well, no, it was just a lot more challenging than I really wanted to. And I would have been specified and really kind of locked into one area.
I get you.
And although you'd be dealing with, if I were to do child psychology or something in that neighborhood, I would specifically be dealing with that particular demographic group. What I was looking for was something broader. I wanted to impact people's lives in a much more broader sense. And so the great thing about having a master's in regional planning is that with planning, a planning degree, you get a little bit of everything. You know, land use, transportation, civic engagement, how to interact with the public, and just an array of skills. And so I did that, and then I thought I wanted to really pursue a career in that area. And after graduation, I got a great job down here in Charlotte. But while I was at Chapel Hill, I started my PhD program. And, you know, being a college student, I'm like, I want to make some money. You know, let me get out here and make some money.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
You know, I was typical, and I still have a passion for cars. And I was like, oh, I want to buy a BMW, and I can't do that if I'm going to school. So I took the job here in Charlotte as a community planner and did that for about 4 years, really enjoyed that. And throughout that time, I kept saying, you know, I'll go back and finish my PhD. I'll go back and do that. Well, life happened. And I think it was about 20 years later that I went back and I had to start over again and got my PhD. So I have a PhD in public policy and administration with a concentration in public management and leadership. And so with that, it really did ignite my passion for facilitating and for training. I spent well over 20 plus years, almost 25 years in government service at all levels of government service, whether that be local, state, county, and then of course the federal level, and really, really enjoyed my time, at doing federal service. And I must put a plug in right here for the 2020 census. It's coming up. And I just wanted to say yes. To folks, if you're looking for some employment, it's a great employer. The pay is competitive, very competitive. So if you're looking for a part-time gig, or if you kind of between jobs, you had a setback and you haven't gotten back on your feet yet, you go to census.gov and check out their jobs and just take one of those jobs and really get yourself back on your feet. So I'm plugging my former employer and because I think there's great work that can be done, but in the meantime you can also make a good living and kind of help bridge yourself if you're having some financial setbacks. So
that's
having
good to
said
know.
That,
but before yeah, you leave having, that though, could mm-hmm. you also while you're on that, talk about the significance mm-hmm. of all of us making sure that we fully complete that census when we get it and do it on time.
Absolutely. So thank you. And I love plugging the census. I did three decennial censuses, or censi if you want to get really technical. I did the 1990 census, the 2000 census, and then for the 2010 census, I was a contractor with them. And one of the things that everyone has to know, everyone needs to know that you need to complete the form. I don't care what you think about, my confidentiality. Your confidence will be held. The census data is protected by federal law, and so you don't need to worry about people getting your information and sharing that and those kinds of things. But the key is every community needs to be counted 100%. If we're not counted, well, let me say, if we are counted and we're counted completely, then our communities get their appropriate designation of resources. There are several hundred billions of dollars that are available and they're distributed by the census numbers. For example, if you are in an area and you have a growth spurt with kids and the kids growing up, the number of dollars that your community will get for designated for education, for housing, for roads, and for other public services are based upon the number of people in that particular area. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, if I complete the form, people will know where I am. And one of the arguments that I have to counter that, Carl, is that we give out more information when we're applying for a credit card. And most of us are doing that online yes. than the Census Bureau asks for. And so I think that we need to think beyond, you know, who's getting my data. We live in an age now where if people want to know anything about you, they can. But I think we need to get away from the more personalized, someone's tracking me kind of thing, and think about the greater good. Think about the greater good for our communities, and in many of our communities, we don't have appropriate sidewalks. We don't have streetlights.
You there?
Karen North Augusta. Population is booming. And what do we have? We have inadequate, affordable housing. Well, with census data and with the count being accurate and complete, then we can, our appropriate areas will get the designated resources that we need to provide for the needs of our people. Let me give you a quick example. When I worked the census in 2000, I was special assistant to the director and special assistant to the associate director for field operations. And so my job, I managed the partnership and marketing campaign, which was really targeted for people that are traditionally undercounted, underrepresented communities, meaning communities of color, communities that have language barriers, like our Hispanic brothers and sisters, our Black brothers and sisters from Haiti and from South America and from Africa, different areas that may be language challenged because English is not their primary language. And so then you have people also that are non-African American. They are whites that are living in low wealth communities. And all of these people are traditionally undercounted. So what I said, okay, the director at that time was Dr. Kenneth Pruitt, and he said, LD, I can't go to Oakland for this presentation, big white city meeting. I want you to go and represent the Census Bureau. I flew out there. I mean, the auditorium was packed. And some of the most moving stories that I heard, Carl, were from teachers that said, if you don't complete the form, then we don't know. The school district cannot prepare for the appropriate number of kids that will be in our classes in the upcoming school year. And I heard teachers almost in tears saying, we were thinking that this was going to be our class size. We got to the first day of class, and here we had kids that were at class sizes almost double because these kids not counted. And in many cases, you had kids that were new to the U.S. and born in the U.S. Right before the census, and then or right at the time of the census, and then now that 10 years later, they're 10 years old. They're coming to school. So what do? We don't have the appropriate language specialist. We don't have appropriate capacity to house these kids, nor do we have appropriate books and those kinds of things. So when you think about the impact of the census, this is a number that your community will have to live with for the next decade. And you think about your kids. If you have an infant, you have a baby, you say, oh, we shouldn't count the baby. Yes, count the baby, because in 10 years, that baby's going to be 10 years old. So when it comes to being accurate and complete, we need to get out there, fill out the form. This year, the census is going to an online form. Do whatever it's going to take. Help people in your community to get it out, to get it completed, and also spread the word. It's nothing to be afraid of, but there's so much more to gain by participating. Not to mention the great jobs.
I tell you what, I really appreciate you for sharing that with us and the urgency of it. Because you're right, when we decide that we're not going to fill that out, turn it in, or, like you said, fill it out completely, we've shot ourselves in the foot, and that wound is inflicted for at least 10 years.
Yes, yes. And for everyone in our community. It's not just our household, but it's everyone. When I look at seniors, where we have a lot of inadequate care and a lot of inadequate services in some low-wealth communities for our seniors, if the numbers were there to support that, then city program leaders could be able to say, I'm submitting a grant for this program or for that program because we have people in our communities that need to be taken care of.
Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, yours and mine, is Dr. L. Diane Bennett, CEO of Maximize Consulting. I'm telling you what, the energy is there, and she's going to be talking with us some more about urgent matters, including how even in a time when things are really, really tough, especially at a time when things are really tough, you can build your own dream team. We're going to move from the urgency of completing those census forms online, as she said. Remember, it's coming. Be ready for it. We're going to move from that dream of us doing everything in our power to get the funds that we need and deserve on a community-wide, city-wide basis to you doing what you need to do to build your personal organizations, the dream teams within them that will help move you forward. L. Diane Bennett, the good doctor, and I'll be right back. Stay with us.